Welcome to the first podcast, Dr. Carolina and Friends. I look forward to some very engaging dialogue about the social conditions of the day. Again, welcome. We look forward to talking with you. My first guest is none other than Samuel Dennis. Sam is a wonderful example of what can happen in America, having come from another country, having thrived here, gotten his degrees, and now is working closely with us at the First Central Church, but also in the Central Family Life Center and helping communities in need. Sam, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you, Dr. Carolina. It's an honor to be here as a part of the First Central Baptist Church and the Central Family Life Center. I've been with both the institutions for over 2 years now, and it is great to help the community, help people, and also to spread the word of God, and also to show the love of Christ at most at this particular time in time, especially when during this pandemic and also the fight against race that we all are in right now. And it is a great honor and a privilege. I mean, I never thought as a kid that I would be in this position at this point in my life, serving the community and doing the best that I can. And I'm looking forward also to grow in this country and also to do my best.
Sam, you are, in many instances, the American story. You have a very unique background and a very unique backstory as to even coming to the country. Could you share a little of that with our listeners?
Sure. So I'm from a small city in India called Bangalore, the south of India. And I grew up in the city. I was raised as a city boy. And thanks to God, I was able to get good education back home. And I was not born in a rich family. My parents were a middle-class family. They could provide whatever they could. And there was not much. But as days went by, there was unemployment and a lot of things that economic backlogs that could not help us come up in life. But eventually, at God's providence hand, led me to choose a particular profession and line that I would never thought I would ever take, to be a minister or to be to do God's word. And I just opted for the option when it came to at my doorstep. And within the span of 3 months, I saw myself in New York, United States of America. I still remember on January 21st, 2016, when I landed in JFK Airport with $300 in my pocket, not knowing when my next meal would be and not knowing how I paid my fees as I came here to be a student in a seminary. And here I am in 2020. God's given me all that I can, all that he has for me, and he's never withheld anything that from me. And I'm doing my best, and he's been so good to me that words could not explain.
Sam, you actually quoted a scripture: he will withhold no good things from them who walk upright before him. Sam, I want to also just ask, I often say that most of our youth in America, it should be mandated, especially middle school, for all of them to go to a third world nation and to experience it for at least a year and then come back. I think a sense of appreciation would be gotten. Could you speak to us about your upbringing, especially coming from India? We know that both China and India are the fastest growing populations in the world, those nations. Talk to us a little bit about the opportunities and or the lack thereof.
Right. So first, I would like to start off by looking at the perspective from the American way of looking at everything, right? So I came to this country and I see that wealth is all over. I mean, simple, small things that I see over here, and I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Because back home, we work and we live in a way that we have to actually think about our next meal. Where is it going to come from? You need basic necessities as travel or clothing over our head, or our backs, and a roof over our heads. Was we had to make sure that we had it, and there are times which we lacked at this. And our governments were not as great as what we look at America, though we have things happening here, but we still see that people are put in priority. over here, but that was not the case back home, and that is not the case, in fact. There is a lot that I want to share, but all I want to say is that this nation is blessed, and I've never thought that I would be over here, and it is different back there. Mm-hmm. That's all I want to say.
Mm-hmm. So Sam, I know I'm pressing you a little bit, but I want to sort of speak to, in particularly, the religious community here. I think that Christians across America can be sort of easily segregated and divided into evangelicals and then Catholics and Protestants and then even with that Lutherans and Baptists and things of that nature. Yet we're all Christians. I know that, for example, when I go to West Africa, we have three churches there. We have a school there that educates about 1,000 children a year. It's a little different. When someone preaches the gospel, it does not necessarily matter if you're Protestant or Lutheran or Catholic or what have you. It's the gospel. Do you find that your experience in the States, and or is it different in India for the most part?
I would say it is almost similar, because we do have separation, segregation between the Christian community as well back home. Because what happened is people tend to go get into communities and they tend to go to church, and there's not much of community activities would happen like America, right? We have a lot of nonprofit organizations helping the community, and we also have churches which go out. But back home, people because of poverty, people actually search for God, and wherever they can, right, they find a place because they are in need. And that's one of the things that I see the difference, because I'm not saying God's not needed here, but people back home, they flock the churches and also the mosques and the temples. And
so would you say that, like, the beginning of the start of this nation, religious institutions served more than just simply a religious nature? They served in terms of a community. They served in terms of economics. They serve in terms of stature within a society. People of note attend those churches. They are a resource, if you will, for food and for shelter and for other things. Is that accurate?
Yes, that's what I see in this country. Mm-hmm. That's accurate. But back home, where I come from, that's not the case. Mm-hmm. Religious organizations are more about, they talk about God, but we don't see that in action.
Interesting.
Right, they give you a person or a priest or whoever can stand on the pulpit, and the best that he can do is give you hope by his words.
Very, very interesting.
Yes, and there are organizations who, as church, they bring to the table what they can, and they support small communities in the villages and in the small rural districts, but that's not brought into light. And The fact of when it talks about religious bodies, there is a negative connotation back home because of corruption and having money, have the people, priests and bishops or whoever, looting for money and corruption. That's a kind of culture back there. But I'm so glad that I'm here, and I pray that things would change back home as well.
Interesting. People are truly creatures of habit. Right. I mean, wherever we are, whatever nation, there's always an element within religious development where greed and self-interest rule versus the need of the people.
Yeah, and the most part speaks to what I've noticed in this country is the fact that it has a check and balance system, which is the backbone of this country. I would say, I mean, I'm not saying it works perfect, but back home there is none because of our political system is arranged and the way it is built, because it is very hierarchical, and one cannot question the authority or even let it be your belief system in churches. I never could question what I believed until I came to America.
Interesting. To what extent does the caste system still apply in India?
So the caste system does apply very subtly in the cities, but very openly in the villages. It does work. And normally, a person with a higher caste would gets political seats, jobs, and also if a person from the lower caste is convicted of a crime, and most likely that person would not come out of prison easy.
It's interesting. Again, people are creatures of habit. While in America we tout the fact that we don't have a caste system and that we aren't a class system, it still is the case that based on relationships, they can determine a lot in terms of the trajectory of someone's professional career and also just someone's livelihood. We are in the midst of not only a pandemic, but we're also in the midst of an upheaval with the death. Of course, everyone is familiar with the death of George Floyd, but we can name numerous other names of black men and women, for that matter, who have unjustly been murdered in the hands, by the hands of those who are supposed to be our protectors. And to no small extent, I think the argument can be had that in the system of America, persons who are brown and black have an unfair hand, even though it is also historically the case that it's the same black and brown bodies that built the White House, as well as the global economy that America enjoys as being the leader. So I'm excited that change is afoot in young people such as yourself, and definitely immigrants. I think your story is the American story, and I think that many people of color, black and brown folks, need to hear more about the immigrants who are here, newly here, and their experiences, because I think through time, sometimes we experience and live our own realities, but we can be empowered by the realities of others coming to the shores. Is there anything else that you want to just share with us, or share with the listeners about yourself, the experiences that you have had in America?
Right. Just wanted to, at this present time, disturbing times, I would say, but we still have hope. We see people on one end, they are dying, and the other, they are fighting for life. And it is great to see that. And I mean, I would say it is great to be born in this generation and to witness this, right? And it is great for me to do my best that I can. And again, as I'm a minister, I won't always want to point back to God, and His ways is higher than ours, and His plans are greater. And I am so honored to be in His plan, for Him to use me, and I'm going to do my best.
Sam, you've already done quite a bit. One of the reasons why your initial person in our podcast and our series is because of the fact that you have such a rich, important story to tell the American people. And again, I am grateful for you being a part. Do you have any plans for the future, immediate future? Do you see anything that you'd like to share in terms of where you're going? I know you have some degrees and
Regarding my career is I'm actually working on my doctor's in ministry. So that's what I'm looking at, and
That's an MDiv, correct?
no, doctor, not the master,
DMin.
demon,
Oh,
yes,
very good.
demon.
A DMin. Very good.
Yeah, a demon. I'm working on that, and I know that's God's guiding me through that step, and I'm going to complete that and wait for God's guidance as to what He wants me to do.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, again, Sam, thank you. Thank you for consenting to be our initial interviewee, as I am the interviewer. And we look forward to many more wonderful experiences with you. Again, I am Reverend Dr. Demetrius Carolina, Executive Director of the Central Family Life Center, pastor of the Central Family, pastor of the First Central Baptist Church in Staten Island, New York. And I'm excited to launch this initial podcast, and I'm looking forward to you. I will be in your community. I will reach out to you via phone, via snail mail, via text messaging, via various means, so that we can get your story across and you can share in what is the mosaic called the American Dream. Thank you. Have a very pleasant day.